What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Aiden Mattis. This is the Thorn Bussy. You are watching the Lore Lodge official podcast, and I... Oh boy.
We're back. We're so back.
We have watched so much missing 411 content today, getting ready for these videos and going into rabbit holes and all of that. So I'm excited. We're going to talk about some. We're going to talk about the Stacey Aris case, which is possibly going to lead to a anti-government rant by yours truly, may or may not. I cannot promise anything. And then we're going to talk about some of the allegations against David Politis, which I alluded to in the post I made about this video. I'm not going to talk about what those allegations are until we get to it, I'm sorry, but you'll have to stick around. So, the Stacey Aris case itself, however, is probably one of the first missing 411 cases I, in particular, heard about, and it is also one of the most famous, partially because of David Politis, and partially because it just doesn't make sense in a way that the others, you know, it's almost the fact that there could be a rational explanation for this one.
Yeah.
And then it's just not available to the public if it is rational or it isn't a rational reason or it's something else and that's being hidden from us. So we've got to kind of look into that. And it, in most cases, we can definitively say either, okay, there was a rational explanation for this or there isn't. In this case, we don't know and it's the government's fault. So, I mean... That's where we're going to go with this one. So, you know, strap in.
Fasten your safety belts, ladies and gentlemen. We're going for a ride.
Which, consequently, is exactly how Stacey Aris got to Sunrise High Sierra Camp. She went for a ride.
Yes.
She, her father, and six other members of their party, who were unrelated to them but on the same trip, were basically, they were riding horses through Yosemite National Park. And they were on the High Sierra Trail, which is a very well-traveled, well-known, popular horseback and hiking trail. And they were a few days into the trip, and they got to Sunrise High Sierra Camp, which is at an elevation of about 9,400 feet. The average temperature in the area from the nearest station is about 70 degrees in the month of July. In some cases, I can get weather data that goes all the way back to the 1930s. This is not one of those cases. Yeah. That's more typical of, like, New York City, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. When you're getting out into the national parks,
I mean, there's really
you get a weather station whenever they put something there.
Yeah, exactly. There weren't really a lot of good means of capturing the data, especially considering people just weren't there.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, yeah. So in 1981, they didn't have a weather station, but in 1985, they did. And in 1985, it says pretty much 70 degrees. Highs of mid-80s, lows of mid-40s during the summer months, and at this time it was most likely 70-ish during the day, and then it could have gotten down to as low as 40 during the nights, probably closer to 50. So, yes, defund the ATF, exactly, Kellen Data, you got it. You understand, you're vibing with us here. But yes, they were on the trail. And air quality, not a problem, you know. Beautiful scenery, great time, no bad weather this day, it was sunny, it was bright, and around mid-afternoon, Stacey and this is one of the perplexing things too, there is so much detail about a lot of these other cases. Aaron Hedges, we got so much detail. Tom Nesek, we know everything that he allegedly did that day. Of course, we also know after doing the documentary that the story we get about Tom Messick is probably not the truth.
And why is that?
What do you mean, why is that? Wait, you have thoughts? Say them.
No. I just wanted you to give your little rant on that first.
Oh, I don't really have a rant on it.
Well, you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I mean, well, what we basically, the story you get from Politis is that Tom and his family and a few friends went out to go hunting, and they went out hunting at a very weird time of day, like 10 a.m., in an area that they should have been, there should have been no problems, basically. This is a populated area. It's not, you know, it's not super remote. Went down a 2-mile dirt road, and Tom's never seen again. We go up to investigate it, and of course, you know, lo and behold, the community around there does not believe he was ever there.
Yeah.
The people involved in the search don't believe he was there.
Yep.
So, you know, Tom's a bit of a different story, but with Stacy, there's very little detail. I couldn't find specifics on time. I couldn't find specifics on names of anyone in the party except for Stacy and her father. There's just so much weird stuff going around in that sense. But the story here goes that they got to the Sunrise High Sierra camp, and the details, the difference in detail between the Missing 411 and Strange Outdoors and all of that that we get in the last 10 years versus what was being reported in 1981 during the search,
yep,
is astonishing. And it's not that it's like massive details. It's how many little things here and there don't line up. For example, if you look up this case and you go on YouTube to a channel, say, called, I don't know, like Rusty West or something like that. Let's make up a channel name that definitely doesn't exist. And you watch their video, they might just read from Strange Outdoors and have a slideshow of images from National Park Service documents in the background. Again, just totally making up a channel. This is not something that got 152,000 views with no effort whatsoever. I'm not salty about it at all. If you go to those stories, you're going to hear stuff like Stacy was 5'5 and 120 pounds, which is correct. She had blonde hair, shoulder length, which is correct. And what you won't hear is the bit where her father told searchers she could look anywhere between 12 and 16, depending on her hairstyle and her clothes. What you do hear is that she was wearing leggings. It was 1981. Leggings existed, but they certainly were not in fashion for hikers or horseback riders yet. And furthermore, we have the missing person poster from 1981, where it says explicitly that she was wearing red and maroon striped shorts with baby blue pinstripes. Why nobody bothers to read the missing person poster, I do not know. There is no viable reason that the missing person poster would have incorrect information. Why are you going to blogs and not fact-checking?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is people, it's okay to take things at, you know, face value in terms of single sources. If you're just doing it for your own curiosity, it's beneficial to cross-reference if you want to be certain about how correct that information is. Mm-hmm. But it's understandable that in the, you know, essence of time management, you would want to take it at face value on occasion. If you're making content exactly in relation to that, it's a bit irresponsible to not double check the information.
Exactly. That's all. And that's how I feel about it, is like, hey, come on guys, if you're gonna tell a story to potentially 152,000 people, like Rusty West definitely didn't do, if you're gonna do that, you should probably check your sources a little bit. So in reality, what she was wearing was a white either jersey blouse, which doesn't make a ton of sense that you'd be wearing a blouse on a trip like this, or a t-shirt. That seems more likely to me.
Yeah.
I've seen both. She was wearing an off-white windbreaker. She was wearing her maroon and white striped shorts and flip-flops, as well as an upper and a lower retainer, a gold anklet, and if I remember correctly, blue dot earrings. I don't know what that necessarily means, but that's what the missing person poster said. Mm-hmm. It also said that she was carrying an Olympus camera, as well as a pack of cigarettes, perhaps, and chewing gum. Okay. So, all normal things for a 14-year-old to have, right?
Yeah. I mean, back then, I guess.
Yeah, the cigarettes part threw me for a loop. I was like, why did she have cigarettes? Yeah, but anyway,
it may have been the 80s, but it was still the 80s.
That's true. She asked her father if he wanted to go for a little hike with her. Mm-hmm. After they had gotten, you know, settled at the camp, they were going to be staying there. It was 9 cabins that slept 34 people. Was not in any way a situation where you had to worry about bears, mountain lions. This was a safe, well-inhabited area on the trail. Obviously not permanently. It was a trailhead. It was temporary establishments. But you had people going through there often enough, especially this time of year, that it just would not have been an issue. She asked her dad, and again, we don't have exact time frames on this, so anytime between 3 and 6 p.m., if we assume they're going on a short hike to take pictures, they're not going to be out after dark, and dark would be about 8:30 onwards. So he says no, but by the way, you should really put on some hiking boots if you're going to go for a longer walk. Flip-flops aren't going to do it.
Yeah.
So she changes into a pair of gray hiking boots, and begins to walk off. And another one of the people from the group who was on the trail with him and all that, whose name is not mentioned in any of the reports from the time. Not a single news report I could find from 1981. By the way, outside of that National Park Service document I sent you, I had a very hard time finding any news articles about Stacey Arvis.
Really?
Yeah. It was very, very, very weird. But this man, this elderly gentleman, sees her walking along and asks where she's going and says, you know, oh, I'll come with you, I'll accompany you. And they walk, according to him, in the contemporary reports, for 20 to 30 minutes before he gets tired and says, you know what, I'm going to sit down, you go on ahead, I'll wait here for you.
Yep.
Now, when you read the more recent stuff, specifically Missing 411 and all of the blogs that have just copied Missing 411 and distilled it into a shorter information bit, you get the story, A, that she was wearing leggings that she wasn't wearing. You also get that she was wearing braces. It was a retainer. What you get is that this guy's name was Gerald Stort, and he was anywhere between 70 and 77 years old. Not 70, not 77. No, he's anywhere in between. In some cases, in one news article, it says that he's 72. But there's, for some very odd reason, no explanation of why his age is not standard. Did the National Park Service distribute this information to the reporters? If they did, all the reporters should have had the same info, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, do we know whether or not the investigative individuals were able to speak to that person directly?
I could not find information on that. All I know is that there are multiple newspapers with multiple news articles that list different ages for this guy.
Got it. Yeah, it may just be, I mean, you know, poor reporting back in the, you know, the time period in which this was occurring, or it could have been that nobody actually was able to get contact with that individual specifically, so they had to make the estimation.
It seems like, based on what I've found, the reporters went to him directly.
Okay.
Or to other people who were there, if not him particularly. But anyway, we get that he's anywhere between 70 and 77. His name is Gerald Stort, maybe. I couldn't find him. But again, I'm not an investigative reporter. It's not my job. I do not have the best investigation skills when it comes to looking up individual people who were in their 70s in the 1980s.
To be fair, even like trained and seasoned reporters would have to have difficulty doing that, even when they have access to a wide variety of data. So
it's just,
don't fault yourself.
Yeah, I'm not too upset with myself over that one. But yeah, so Gerald said that he sat down about 20 to 30 minutes into the walk, and this is another spot where the story diverges, because there are, it's that she was going to the lake, right? Doesn't say which lake. Not a single report says which lake.
Yeah.
I think David Politis came to the same conclusion I did, which was that this was probably Sunrise Lakes. There are three of them, and Sunrise Lake number three is about, is an almost exactly a mile.
Okay.
On the trail from Sunrise High Sierra Camp. It's a little bit shorter than a mile as the crow flies, but if you're actually on the trail, it's about a mile.
Yeah.
So, assuming they're walking either up or downhill, doesn't really matter, but I think it was downhill, based on the story I heard. If you're walking downhill on a trail, it's a little windy, but not too bad, you're probably walking between 1 and 3 miles an hour if you're a seasoned hiker.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be closer to 3 or 4, but if you're not a seasoned hiker, or if you're a 70-year-old man, probably closer to 1 mile an hour, which means that half an hour in, they probably would have been halfway to the lake.
Yep. And even a leisurely walk is roughly, like, at least three. For someone ours, yeah, like 2 to 3. Yeah. So
since this was probably a leisurely walk, they were probably about half a mile to the lake when he sat down.
Yeah.
And then watch Stacy walk off into the distance, and not a single thing afterward. Sorry, I'm scrolling to make sure I'm in the right place in my notes. Gerald waited for a little while, and when Stacy didn't come back after quite a while, he asked some hikers who had come up the same trail, hey, did you see a girl? She looks like this. She's wearing this. She has a camera, all of that. They said, no, we haven't seen her.
Yeah.
So they immediately started looking, because obviously that's weird. So they went down to where she had been going, and they searched the campsite, and they searched around the campsite. Nothing was found. And the next morning, the National Park Service came in and actually launched a search. And this search was not just National Park. It was not Army. It wasn't anything like that. It was actually, because it's such a remote area, they had to bring in search and rescue from multiple different areas, including San Jose, Mount Mammoth. I'm trying to remember the other ones. There were there were a number of other ones that I didn't write down the names of. But the San Jose and the Mount Mammoth people are both directly referenced in documents from the time period. The San Jose group said that the terrain was extraordinarily difficult in some places, and they were climbing areas that they didn't think that Stacy possibly could have gone, but they had to check anyway, in case in a fit of adrenaline while running away from something, she had gotten up somewhere. They also narrowed the search area to 3 to 5 square miles, which included an area. Basically, they drew lines and were like, all right, here's where we think Stacy could have been, could have gotten. And not based on time, based on natural barriers. Ravines, rivers, cliffs, things like that. So they found nothing.
And when you say nothing, you mean genuinely nothing.
I mean, 11 days, $50,000, 100 searchers, German shepherds, not bloodhounds. You will read bloodhounds or sniffer dogs or whatever if you look at any of the newer documentation of this case. I found one German shepherd.
And
it contrasted, it even said, unlike bloodhounds. So I found no evidence that bloodhounds were brought in. And the thing is, if you look at the Dennis Martin case, right? That we talked about. Where I was, I had the documentation in front of me. I had the entire case report from the national park. That is not available for Stacy. So if I go to pull up the exact same documentation, I don't get Stacy. I get certain stuff that they published, but nothing on the scale of Dennis Martin, where you get a play-by-play, day-to-day, here's what this group was doing, here's what this group was doing, here's what this group was doing. They were led by this, this, and this. The helicopters came from here. The dogs came from here. Like, full, very detailed reporting. Nothing for Stacy. You get, I think the document I sent you had, what, 15, 20 pages? Most of them were newspaper clippings. And a couple were letters. One letter wasn't even really related to the case at all. It was just saying, hey, in the future, if you guys are doing water sampling by helicopter, let us know. Because we might need to tell our pilots about that. So, just that's weird to me that there's such a disparity in the reporting from the same organization, even if it is two separate parks. Why is the reporting from 1969 so much more thorough than 1981? We're talking about 12 years.
I mean, just could it be a departmental thing in terms of the individuals actually involved in the search? Maybe, but that doesn't seem like a good enough justification for such a disparity.
It doesn't explain why it's at least not, like, standardized format.
Yeah.
You know? Why would they get less granular over time?
I mean, there is the potential of budget decreases and the lack of individuals there, but the key thing there is obviously that's some research that could be done, but again, that shouldn't negate the thoroughness, especially considering that the search area in this case is so definitively small. I mean, what was the total?
3 to 5 miles.
Yeah. And that's a radius, I would imagine. Or
square miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even smaller radius.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What was Dennis Martin?
Dennis was, God, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I feel he was 18.
Yeah. So, I mean, a vastly smaller search area.
So you would think they would have better
data.
Yeah. It's just, it makes no sense that it's nothing at all. But yeah, so 11 days, $50,000, nothing is found in this very, very small search area that, again, was defined by inaccessibility. Not by distance, not by anything like that. It was, where could she have gone?
Yeah.
And they found nothing. And that's where the story of the search ends. That's the strange part of this. Every detail I just gave you guys is all of the information that is available on the internet without, like, you know, doing a public record search for money. So when David Politis initially started investigating this case, he ran into the same problem we're running into, where there was actually even less information available at the time, because he was doing this in 2011. Basically, anything you find in the on the internet about Stacey Aris comes from the last 10 years, maybe 15, but basically nothing before her story appears in Missing 411.
Yeah.
There's occasional newspaper clippings, and, you know, if Stacey's, if you see the, a woman who looks like this, it might be Stacey who went missing. The case, I can't determine if it's closed or open, but it's certainly not under active investigation, according to any sources that I can find.
Yeah.
So what David Politis did was the rational thing. He looked at the Dennis Martin case and said, there is all this information. Why is it not in the National Park Service report? And it's a great question. Because, and I'm going to put it up, Dennis Martin case files. And I'm going to pull up Stacey Aris case files. And I'm going to pop these up on screen so you can actually see them. Also, I want to note something. Let me really quickly swap to correct screen. Okay, and we're still audible. Beautiful. So, if you look at this, released files for Stacey Aris case, Dennis Martin disappearance. Now, it does say redacted, but there's really nothing in here that's redacted. There's a few lines, but for the most part, if you look at this as we're scrolling through, this is a lot of information. This covers every detail of everything that happened, names, dates, groups, you know, letters from the Department of the Interior. We've received the chronological narrative on the above subject, and we're very interested in the contents. The information contained in the report apparently covers the entire operation, which undoubtedly is the most extensive of its kind in the history of the National Park Service. We know that the personnel who were involved in the operations have been commended by your office and would like to express a well done for the obvious excellent management of this tragic search.
Well, so that's one factor in terms of...
I know. This is the most extensive.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't explain why the less extensive searches have less documentation. The search itself was extensive. But that's not even my point.
Well, they also say the most well-documented. Apparently, this, the Dennis Martin case specifically, was essentially the gold standard.
Yes, and it was the best documented in 1969.
Yeah. But so, but that just makes it clear. It's like this was...
That's the standard.
That's, well, yeah. I mean, that it was so remarkably well done that it was commended by people involved, you know, externally, I guess. So it, based off of what we just read, it is not out of the realm of possibility that most of the cases that we would find would not be this well documented.
Yes, but at the same time, it should be.
Should be, yeah. You know? Absolutely should be, but, you know, a lot of things.
Yeah, but my point in saying that was that this is what's possible.
Mm-hmm. This is what we should strive towards.
Exactly. This is what the Dennis Martin case is, what every National Park missing person case should look like. And honestly, it's what every missing person's case should look like.
Yeah.
This is how we should handle it when people go missing. This is a real crime. Not necessarily a crime, but a real problem for people that they go missing. And instead, you know, we're enforcing laws against kids who, you know, smoke pot in their parents' basement.
Yep.
You know, it drives me nuts what the government prioritizes.
But, well, Aiden, you can't make money from a missing person search.
But if you look at this report, my point in pulling this up, it is 86 pages long. This was a shorter search.
Yeah, what was the time scale in terms of first fatal essay?
I'm pretty sure this one was like, he went missing on, I think, the 17th or something like that, and was he went missing on the 14th, and the search was suspended on the 24th, but they had wound down efforts long before that. For Stacey, 21 pages.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
And of those pages, the first three are pictures. The fourth is a picture. The fifth is a picture. Six of the pages. So this is, in reality, a much shorter. This is a 15-page report. Now, one page is the missing person poster. This is newspaper clipping. I'm not even sure what this is. But you search through it, and it's just, this is the search area. Again, as you can see, really crappy Xerox from the 1980s. I'm not even sure what's supposed to be in these.
Yeah, that is some horrible Xeroxing there.
Yeah, I mean, what does that say on the side? It doesn't matter.
It's... Photographed by Randy Olson.
What's the...
Scuba diver takes break from search, resting beside Upper Sunrise Lake and another truthless, fruitless...
Yeah, point is,
whatever.
Very difficult images to see, but this is now, what, 8 pages of this document that are just pictures? And then the rest of it is just newspapers? This is where we start to get to actual information about the case, right here. And you know what it is? We have, from the National Park Service, compared to Dennis Martin, look at this. Dennis Martin, this is National Park Service documentation of what happened during the case.
Yep.
Page after page after page of paragraphs of information. 21 pages, 2 of them are National Park Service documentation. The rest, this is the Mariposa Gazette.
I wonder if we were ever going to do
Sunstar,
an Into Thin Air episode on this, if we would be able to submit a FOIA request, considering...
We don't have the money.
I know, but if that's why I'm saying if we could get to the point where we could do that.
It's funny that you mentioned the FOIA request.
Because
I was about to get to that. FOIA... Stacy Morris. So here's the redacted version, which again, all they really redact is his address. Gist of it is they say that after fully reviewing the issues presented in the appeal, because they rejected his FOIA request at first, the NPS properly invoked Exemption 7A. Now, what is 7A? Permits the withholding of records or information compiled for law enforcement purposes, but only to the extent that production of such law enforcement records or information could reasonably be expected to interfere with enforcement proceedings. David Politis submitted this request 30 years after Stacy went missing. There were no, according to the National Park Service itself, by the way, if we read... this line right here, although the search was unsuccessful and not a single clue was found. Not a single clue.
You know,
this is the Mammoth Mountain ski area. They're thanking them, and then this is them admonishing the fire watch team for flying helicopters without telling the search and rescue people.
No, really quickly, go back to the FOIA request rejection. I'm gonna read this one more time. Exemption 7A permits the withholding of, quote, records or information compiled for law enforcement purposes, but not only to the extent that production of such law enforcement records or information, could reasonably be expected to interfere with law enforcement proceedings, end quote. The exemption is intended to prevent premature disclosure of the investigatory materials that might be used in a law enforcement action. Here's the problem with that. I think that the... exterior of quote, you know, wording there is trying to lead you to the suggestion that, oh, it might interfere with an ongoing investigation. What the interior quote comments read like to me are that we are not going to do this because we don't feel like doing it. And we could literally say that anything would interfere with law enforcement proceedings, because if I have to go to a copier instead of sit at my desk, that might inhibit my proceedings, so that's a good enough excuse for me to not do it.
That is possible. However, I will say writing this letter definitely took more time than doing that.
Yeah, probably.
But there's also the possibility that they're covering something up.
Yeah, 100%.
Because if they weren't covering something up, the Stacey Aris papers would look like this.
Yep.
And not like this. Because, again, what is stark to me... what is standing out to me about the difference between these two reports, partially the length, yeah. But what stands out to me is not any of that. It is the lack of any of this. And if you're listening to the episode, not watching, what we're reading here is page after page of detailed reporting on exactly what happened during the Dennis Martin search. There is not a single paragraph of that sort in the Stacey Aris case. It is only reasonable to assume that this does exist for the Stacey Aris case, right?
Say that one more time.
It's only reasonable to assume that this does exist for the Stacey Aris case.
More than likely, yeah, to some extent.
So it's not in here. David Politis noticed that and went and filed a FOIA request. He was rejected. He was rejected on the grounds that it might impact an open law enforcement case. That implies one of two things. Either the National Park Service is still investigating this, which, by the way, I know they're technically a law enforcement body, but come on.
Really quickly,
yeah.
Did you read the following?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Paragraph. I just pulled this up on my computer as well. The following paragraph, if anybody hasn't already read it on their own. In this case, Congress has given the Secretary of the Interior, through the NPS, express law enforcement authority to, quote, maintain law and order and protect persons and property within the areas of the National Park System, unquote. And the records at issue in the appeal were compiled for this purpose. Therefore, the department concludes that the withheld documents were, quote, compiled for law enforcement purposes, end quote. The interesting thing is...
Go on.
I was going to let you make the point.
I'm not sure I'm going to make the same point you're going to make, so you go for it.
The National Park System gets special exemption. Why?
Good point. Why do they get special exemptions? Also, I have to point out that their reasoning here actually is not, this is an open case now that I'm rereading it. Their reasoning here is because the National Park Service is a law enforcement body, anything compiled by it is subject to that exemption, which is expressly not true as far as Freedom of Information Act requests go.
Yep.
The Freedom of Information Act exists for the purpose of allowing you to see this. Allowing you to see this kind of stuff. They're saying basically FOIA is bullshit.
Basically.
That's what this says.
And I mean,
if you read between the lines.
The following paragraph does acknowledge the fact that they still are considering this an ongoing investigation and that disclosure could, quote unquote, or let me make sure I'm not actually, you know, there are no actual quotes, but it's saying that it could interfere with an ongoing investigation. But yeah.
Yeah, the NPS has devised the department that its criminal investigation to the incident is still ongoing 30 years later. No, that means that you didn't close the case, but you're not investigating it.
Correct.
And they know that. They are 100% aware of that. So he files the Freedom of Information Act request. They reject it. And of course, this is all here. You can see this. Now, Politis claims that he then called the National Park Service to plead his case, and the lawyer he spoke to told him, you're never getting those case files, after he explained, because he was a police detective, after he explained why what they said to him was BS, they just said, you're never getting those files, and hung up on him.
Yeah.
Why? Why is the National Park Service not releasing those files? If Stacy was the victim of foul play 30 years ago, and they discovered legitimate evidence showing that, why was it not released? Nobody was arrested. Nobody was charged. So why would they not release information that might keep people safe from experiencing the same thing that happened to Stacy?
I mean,
if they know what happened?
The only thing that I would assume is that because whoever was involved, they would assume, was not a threat to the general public, and it was a specific incident in which there may or may not have been some form of conflict of interest with the investigating body, and they just decided it was going to be a lot simpler to keep it an open case and say they didn't find anything.
True, but that's illegal.
Oh, it is.
So...
Oh, it absolutely is.
Also, especially because it's on federal land, which means that it's the most subject to FOIA.
Yeah.
Like, there is nowhere more subject to FOIA than a national park investigation.
Yep.
So, it's just, like, the stuff you can get through Freedom of Information Act requests includes, like, details on military operations from 10 years ago. Like, you can get details on things that are a lot more important than this, unless this is a lot more important than they're pretending it is.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about that. Now, that runs into another issue, which is, of course, so I want to see, did I, yeah, I have this up. Okay, cool. Let me take a look at it really quick over on my side of things. If I can pull up David Politis, not a detective. So here's what we get from Wikipedia. David Politis is a former police officer who is now an investigator and writer, primarily known for self-published books dedicated to proving the reality of Bigfoot and establishing the missing 411 conspiracy. Do you know why they put his Bigfoot thing front and center?
To try and discredit him?
Exactly.
Yeah.
As we know, recently, for example, Wikipedia made 38 edits to the definition of recession and then locked the page. So we know, yeah, because we're in a recession and that's not good for branding for the government. So what we know is that the Wikipedia does whatever they're told by the U.S. government. So it's possible that somebody who just doesn't like David Politis put this up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's also entirely possible that the government told Wikipedia, you discredit this man right now. Also, I just realized we're still on that screen. Right, I was going to pull something up, but I'm not going to now, because I basically just made my point. Point is, if you scroll through the David Politis Wikipedia page, every single thing is phrased to make you doubt him. They do this to a lot of people they don't like. But in his online biography page, Politis states that he received his undergraduate and graduate degrees from the University of San Francisco, and in 1977, he began a 20-year career in law enforcement, transferring in 1980 to the San Jose Police Department, working in the patrol division on the SWAT team, patrol and street crimes unit, and a variety of assignments in the detective division. While working as a court liaison officer in December of 1996, Politis was charged with a misdemeanor count of falsely soliciting for a charity. So, a lot of people have claimed Politis was never actually a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
The counterclaim is that his records were scrubbed on the orders of the FBI.
Yeah.
Both of these things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it's probably a lot easier to scrub records than fabricate a 20-year career that includes being discharged over a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
Like... So, after leaving the police force, Politis wrote books on the topic of Bigfoot, as well as disappearance of people in the national parks and elsewhere. These two things are not related. His work on Bigfoot and his work on the Can-Am Missing Project, the Missing 411 phenomenon, are not in any way related to one another.
Yeah.
There are a few videos in which he makes subtle implications that Bigfoot could be responsible, but the fact of the matter is, these people are going missing.
Yeah.
That's happening. They're going missing. So, everything is an attempt to discredit him.
Yeah.
I've experienced the same thing. I've had people tell me that, like, particularly in cases like with Mom Millennial, where they tell me that, oh, well, you talk about the Wendigo, so you're not a reliable historian.
Yeah.
At least I believe in the existence of Rome. There is nothing more ironic to me than somebody telling me that because I talk about, like, folk monsters, I'm not a credible historian, but the woman who denies the existence of Rome is.
I just think it's interesting considering this is my view on that whole scenario. Not necessarily the Millennial thing, but more specifically the discreditation of you in terms of some of the topics that we cover. They're not mutually exclusive or inclusive in the sense that entertaining the possibility of creatures that we have not yet identified in the world might exist in whatever form they may be, is almost completely irrelevant outside of the research about those potential creatures from the definitive historical literature and text and knowledge that exists, that you know, that you studied, that you have a degree in.
Exactly. It's just wild to me that people will conflate things like that.
No.
Like, also, somebody who has a healthy degree of curiosity is not somebody to try and discredit on things, like, you know, it's just stupid. But yeah, so at the end of the day, what happened here is that David Politis, whether he is a fraud or not, that document that we just read from the United States Department of the Interior, that's a real document. There is enough of a trail showing that the National Park Service stonewalled this investigation. That it makes asking questions completely, completely valid.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so incredibly strange. But again, along the line of things that are strange, it was odd that they said a camera lens was found in the Missing 411 documentary, but there's no mention of that by any of the reporters.
Yeah.
Now, I don't care what the hell any of the National Park Service people say. What I care about is the fact that the reporters didn't get anything. At the end of the day, I think this is not the kind, this is not a case that we're ever going to get answers to unless somebody from the Department of the Interior leaks the case files. But it's the one that makes me the most suspicious of the entire thing. And over the time we've been having this show and talking about these things, there have been times when I've been like, ah, all right, you know, I was overzealous about that bit, you know, okay, that's probably not true. All right, I've learned this, which discounts that.
Yeah.
And I've said as much where I've been like, all right, used to think this, new evidence, I think this now. This is the one that I come back to time and time again to ask, why? Why did they hide?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It's not rational. It's not sensible. And it just feels like they're obscuring something from us for reasons that they have not made clear at any point.
Yeah.
So I do want to really quickly, though, read through something that I found that I personally think was kind of fun. Which... All right, here we go. I'm going to close a few tabs here. Drag this guy up here.
A fair plan.
I just had some research stuff up. So I'm going to switch back over to our screen share. It's going to make chat really hard to see for a second, but this is what I'm reading from, and I'm going to pull this off the screen so the chats actually show up again. But yeah, I'm gonna read you these because I think they're funny, and Aiden, you're gonna tell me your reaction.
Okay.
This is gonna be a react segment. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
You ready for the react segment? All right, Aiden. Stacey Ann Aris was not traveling alone. Aris was traveling with others when she disappeared. She and her father were with six other people. The group was horseback riding and reached Sunrise High Sierra Camp before Aris wandered off. Oh wait, this is just the story behind it. Where's the actual theories? Okay, here we go. National Park Service does not keep track of disappearances. That's true, and it's ridiculous.
It doesn't make any sense.
Some of the accepted details in the case may be inaccurate. Search and rescue volunteers and outdoor enthusiasts who have researched Aris's case seem to agree that some point reports were possibly inaccurate in the first place. On a forum about unresolved mysteries, Reddit user Persimmon Pluitt claims to have grown up and worked in Yosemite said, the official description of where she went missing makes no sense. Purportedly, the group arrived at the Sunrise High Sierra Camp, where they planned to stay in some of the cabins. We are told Stacy left to photograph the lake, which was inside of the cabins. There is no lake inside of the camp. It would have been a very long hike to reach a lake, so that discrepancy is odd. That fact changes things a lot. If she really set out to photograph the lake, then there was a lot of distance and space that could have accounted for her disappearance. There are many crevices and spots where she could have possibly fallen, and crevices can conceal anything. However, not knowing where she went makes it difficult to guess. So, off the bat, yes, but also, it seems like the reports he's referencing are not the original ones, because nowhere in the original report does it say that Stacy could see the lake from the camp.
But in that case, what, if they are not the original, what reports are they?
The ones from Missing 411.
Mm.
So, that's... See, them trying to point out discrepancies is causing discrepancies that further complicate things.
Yeah.
Another same forum, different user, said they were a search and rescue volunteer, rebutted, saying, even articles from normally reputable sources get a lot of details wrong in many wilderness disappearance cases. From what I've seen, I think it's just because the reporters likely don't have a frame of reference, and it's just a quick blip, not a Pulitzer contender, so they skimp on the research, but sometimes it can be shockingly inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
Also possible. The part where the National Park Service doesn't keep track of records is disappearances is just true. In response to a Freedom of Information Act request regarding the number of disappearances, this is one of the FOIA requests that Politis submitted, and they told him that it would cost an absurd amount of money. Please know that we reached out to and collaborated with other offices and bureaus, the Office of Law Enforcement Security, BLM, Bureau of Land Management, and National Park Service. According to the feedback we received, they do not track or maintain listings of missing persons.
Yeah.
That bugs me. because they have a report when people go missing, it is not hard to just put that report on a list. Yep. You don't even have to do it. You could automate it. Yep. Be it missing persons report generated, automatically goes to the list. The fact that they don't keep a list is either pure laziness or something more sinister.
Valid.
If the government, I'm going to say laziness in this case is probably the most likely, but you never know.
Yeah.
Some suspect supernatural forces. This mentions Politis. Politis often chooses cases that might fit certain paranormal theories, most of which include Bigfoot. I don't care. That does not have anything to do with this case.
No.
They're, again, trying to push that.
Yeah.
Unlikely that Eris ran away because of her shoes. That is true, but I don't see how it changes anything about this if we're trying to say she didn't run away.
Hmm.
Possible she had a mishap. Yes, true. They mentioned black bears.
But black bears are more scared of their own shadow.
Yeah, black bears are typically not all that aggressive unless you, like, bother them. And or if they're very hungry.
Yeah, I mean, you got to really, like, corner them, essentially.
They're more likely to run away. They can kill you easily.
For sure. I've been less than 30 yards away from black bears in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
They freak out when they figure out that you're around and they just want to get away because they're scared of you.
Yeah.
So
if their cubs are nearby, it's a different story.
But, yes. Yeah, then they get protective.
But in this case, you know, if she'd been attacked by a bear, probably would have screamed. You know?
Yeah, valid.
Also, she was 14, not 5. She knows not to go near a bear.
Yeah.
Yosemite is known for its large population of black bears. There are about 300 to 500. But you're instructed to stay away from them, so it's not like she walked up to one. I can see her maybe, like, going to take a picture of one and getting too close, maybe. Mm. But again, probably would have dropped the camera.
Yeah.
Or there would have been blood. They would have found something. And in these places where they're like, oh, well, you know, she could have slipped into a crevice or something. Again, the way that they searched was the same way that they looked for Tom Messick. They set up a grid and investigated each grid mark point by point until they had covered all of it. So that whole crevice thing doesn't work.
Yeah.
Foul play hasn't been ruled out. This is like the one thing that could possibly actually convince me is if there were evidence of foul play. But if there is evidence of foul play, it seems to be in those files that we're not allowed to see.
Yeah.
So even websites that their main purpose is doing that don't seem to do a very good job. But really quick, I also want to take this as a segue to switch back over because I want to introduce everybody to Mount Pocono Perk. This is something that we've been working on for a while. And what you're seeing here is Lore Lodge official signature coffee.
Mm-hmm.
The first 100 and I think it was 50 people that we decided get entered into a raffle where they can, a drawing, where they could win a hoodie as well as a signed canvas print of our logo signed by both of us. So it's really good coffee, actually. If you're a French press person, it's going to make a really, really nice French press. That's going to be just, it's mild and flavorful and easily you can put cream and sugar in it and it's going to taste great. It's bold enough to be added to, but mild enough to drink on its own. That's what I think is great about it. You know, I taste tested this personally. Those who know me in my personal life know that I am a complete coffee snob. You know, it's got a little bit of our own personal story over here, and this is the roast profile. So, and then of course, if you're looking for a second one to buy, I would recommend getting Stakuyi's because you will support both of our channels. We make money when you guys buy stuff. It's just nice. And if you want to get a hoodie regardless, you can get a hoodie from our website, thelorelodge.shop. But bringing things back into podcast space, it is almost 8:50, or 7:50. So we are going to transition over to Super Chat question time. Remember, for those of you who are new, we answer Super Chats first, and then we try to get to everything else. We will go till probably about 8:15.
Yeah, I'd say that works.
So, 25 minutes, question time. Feel free to ask questions about this, questions about Missing 411 in general, questions about, you know, folklore, even, you know, anything you're curious about, honestly. We'll answer questions. We do have a Super Chat, I saw.
We do, yeah. We have a couple. There was some that were just donations, which were nice, and I'll scroll back just to make sure we didn't miss them. I can only go back a certain way, so if I don't get you, let me know.
I think I can get to it.
There we go.
Heavy Burn Man for $50. Thank you. says, when Dussy and its consequences have been disastrous for today's youth. When Dussy and its consequences. Gotta put that one on a shirt.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Somebody's got to remind me of all the stuff I've said we need to put on a shirt at some point here, because I forget most of the time.
Thankfully, somebody will.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But let's see, what do we get? From Beelzebub for $4.99. Heyo, Aiden's been over on Twitch a few times, but this is the first YouTube live I'm here for. Love the chance to support you guys. No questions here. Thank you, Beelzebub.
Thank you very much. And yeah, I'm hoping that at some point when I have a bit more free time, I can actually join you on some of those live streams, because...
Oh, I've been busy. And for anyone who is interested, we actually have a schedule for the Twitch streams now, which is Masonic Monday. So on Mondays, I go through and do live reactions to Masonic conspiracy videos on YouTube. we've been having a lot of fun with this, because we found some that are from, like, Catholic priests.
Oh, geez.
And we also found some from conspiracy theorists and all that.
Yeah.
Those in edited versions will eventually go up on YouTube. I don't have a timeline for that yet, but they will eventually. If you want to catch them live, they're on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheAidenMattis. Those are our Monday night ones. So what we do is we do those for a little while, and then I'll stream a video game. I'm going to be doing El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metatron, which I think it was Plaz gifted me and requested that I play. So I'll be doing that tomorrow. And then Tuesdays are now Analog Horror Night. So we go and we watch old Marble Hornets or other found footage style content on YouTube. And just enjoy it, discuss it, comment on it. Not really a like making fun of it or analyze. Just we're discussing and having fun.
Yeah.
We are about 2/3 of the way through Marble Hornets right now, which is kind of the OG YouTube analog horror.
Okay.
And because I was inspired by it, I went to a yard sale today. I went to a yard sale today. I went to a yard sale today, and I bought two Panasonic early 2000s tape camcorders to refurbish and then shoot some found footage stuff on, so that's going to be coming. But yeah, we do those on Tuesday nights again on Twitch, and that's usually an hour of Marble Hornets or whatever we go to next, followed by an hour or two of Left 4 Dead 2, which I play with you guys, whoever's in the chat. It's usually Tay and a couple other people like Contractor and whatnot. And then Wednesdays are going to be a more chill, straight video game stream night. I usually grab a couple of my friends. We pop on some Modern Warfare, play some Rebirth Island or Resurgence or whatever.
Yeah.
And enjoy that. And that's really, you just get, that's just typical Twitch gaming streams. There's no folklore content. That's just me and my buddies being me and my buddies.
I would definitely be down for a Wednesday gaming stream, because I don't know how applicable I would be for the other two.
Yeah.
The only downside is that, like, if you bring me into Warzone, I will bring you into lobbies with a 0.1 KD.
You understand, that's exactly what I want.
I know.
Right? Like, I could solo a 0.1 KD lobby.
I know. I haven't played Warzone in a while.
I haven't checked my KD. Last night, I dropped a game where I went 11-5. But more importantly, I dropped one where I went 6-0.
We
won.
That's nice.
We had two wins last night. One, I went 6-0, and the other one, John and I each got one kill.
Yeah.
And our one kill, we were doing duos.
Yeah.
Our one kill each was the other remaining team.
No, that's awesome.
We were absolute rats the entire game. So yeah. All right. Pelly Guy says, Aiden, you're doing great, but Aiden, you could pick it up a little. I don't know which one is being addressed.
I think that was intentional. I have a feeling
neither of our names were spelled right.
No, I was gonna say they were both the incorrect spelling, which is, you know, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not salty about it, but it's fun. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I have a feeling the first one would be related to you. The second one is probably related to me.
No idea.
yeah, now they're just going to start doing an Aiden versus Aiden.
Oh, God.
How do you feel about the fact
that... Oh, no, they are doing it.
Oh, yeah. How do you feel about the fact that our name is essentially our generation's version of John?
Stop it.
Am I wrong?
We're better than that.
I know we are, but...
We're not John's. The salmon quote on a tee. Yes, I you're right. Salmon quote? Can somebody recite the salmon quote to me really quickly so I can...
What is the salmon quote?
Actually, I'll write it down on this one that I keep...
Oh, wait, is that where you were talking about, you would have to, like, just really want to be a salmon or something? Or
I was talking about, Enoch, and somehow we got to...
Yeah.
And do you have a pen? Can you pass me a pen? There's got to be one.
There's a whole thing of some... Oh, yeah, there you go. Now I'm remembering. I was wondering...
Somebody's got to tell me what the quote was.
I was wondering when this happened, then I realized, oh, that's right, it was in the video I edited on Friday. My favorite is when they combine like a transformer.
What?
Referring to, you know, the Aiden.
Okay, so
unifying.
If angels come down to
earth. Oh, jeez. Still waiting on the Magic in Our Hearts shirt or sticker.
Oh, my God.
You know, that TikTok really didn't get as much traction as I would have expected.
I know,
it to.
Right? It felt like the kind of thing that was stupid enough to go viral.
Yeah, it does. Didn't. But that just is the nature of viralness. And, you know,
Magic in Our Hearts?
Yes.
All right. There's a chance of becoming a salmon.
There's a chance of becoming a salmon. Yeah, just as an FYI, for our plan for the Drunk History is probably average once a month, and we're planning to release those primarily on Patreon because...
Patreon and YouTube members.
And YouTube members, yeah.
And eventually the website once I have time to actually, you know...
Because we want to play nice with YouTube's algorithm.
Yeah. And partially to give you guys an idea of what is going on at the Lore Lodge right now, due to recent changes in our viewership... We are much closer to being able to go full-time. Now, that also means that we are well aware that we need to work a lot more on this channel and its associated social media. And we want to do that, but in order to do that, I need to be able to quit my job.
Yep.
Now, I am willing to take a major cut to my standard of living, but at the same time, I do need to be able to afford rent.
Yes.
So, hopefully very soon we'll be able to do that. We're going to probably launch a Give, Send, Go campaign, which is a alternative to GoFundMe.
Mm.
They take a much lower percentage.
Well, that's nice.
So, I prefer that.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to launch a Give, Send, Go, and then for Into Thin Air, maybe a Kickstarter. I'm not sure, because the reason I'm not using Kickstarter for Lore Lodge is that you need to give people back something tangible.
Yeah.
Like, you have to choose a tangible project, like a film or a series. So, if we're... Hopefully we get to a point soon where I can at least go part-time with my job and use... And spend the other 20 hours a week doing Lore Lodge.
Yep.
Instead of doing what I currently do right now, which is work 40 hours and then work another 20.
Yeah, that's not great.
Will you guys ever get a full live Drunk History? I would do that on Twitch. What?
I don't know about live.
If it's just me talking.
I mean, yeah, you're more... I mean, I have no control over that. You're more than welcome to make that decision.
I got it. I can behave on Twitch.
Sure.
How much did you cut out?
I told you, it was at least 20 minutes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Hence my suggestion, maybe not live.
I'll write it. We'll do it live.
And so, for context, it's nothing overtly bad. It's just like, sometimes you don't want everything on the internet.
That's fair. Valid.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was you and me. Like,
yes. It's like, we riff, we joke, we have fun, but like, fully understandably... Sometimes when you are drunk and you make jokes, they're not always the best jokes.
Yeah.
So
true. Oh boy. But we can see about it. I'll train myself. I'll start drinking and ranting, and you'll just grade me each time. We'll see.
You're just gonna record yourself doing drunken rants.
Yeah.
Send it to me and be like, watch this. Tell me about it in the morning.
What do I need to cut?
Yeah. And then I just text back like 3 hours after I wake up, and I'm just like, everything.
Somebody said, CTT 6199 said, I can behave. He in fact cannot behave.
I'm just imagining.
I mean, this is basically what Lore Lounge was, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Kat and I drinking and going.
Yeah, but the thing is that Kat served as a good, like,
yeah, you catch a much better, like,
yeah,
mom than you are.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm the uncle that just like hands you the like bottle rocket.
Yeah, you're not meeting my kids till they're 15.
purely just because of the fact that their life expectancy would thoroughly decrease if they, you know, knew me. Just from pure stupidity. I'm way too much of a guy.
Lore Lodge D&D when I would love to. I cannot run a D&D campaign, and my friends who can are camera shy.
I've only ever played one game of D&D, it fell apart immediately.
The other issue with doing a game of D&D is I have absolutely no idea how we would broadcast that.
Twitch? I did it on Twitch.
No, I mean room size.
What do you mean? Oh, it's usually like, or at least from what I did.
We're not doing virtual. Okay. We're not doing virtual D&D.
That's fine.
I wouldn't be able to reach across the table and slap you with a gauntlet. Can we get an Archie plushie? I have absolutely no idea how to do that, but I want to.
Yeah, now we have to.
Yeah.
Speaking of the boy, he's just at my feet. Yeah,
Archie, you want to come
I have been doing my best to not run over this man with the wheels of this chair or my feet the entire time. There he is. Now I can.
He was so excited to join, too. Look, at the camera. Say hi.
What a champion.
We brought the boy. Oh. The Lore Lodge, guys being dudes. No, that's the Lore Lounge. Lore Lounge is guys being dudes.
Yes.
Lore Lads.
Lore Lads.
Lore. We've got a lot of lodges and lads and lores. We've got the Land Lodge.
The Land Lodge, yeah. Yes.
Got the Land Lads, which is my private gaming server. Somebody bought the mug. Thank you.
What do you mean by what do you think of Mountain Lions in PA? Like,
I don't think we have them anymore.
I'm not sure if we do.
I remember that they're supposed to be extinct in Pennsylvania, but there's a possibility they're encroaching back in from states where they weren't extinct, like West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rich, I believe?
Yeah.
When we were up in...
Yeah, he said he'd definitely seen a couple in New York.
Yeah. So if they're south and north of here, I would imagine there's probably some here.
I'm sure they're probably functionally extinct, like to the point where you're not going to see one. Sorry that your mother spelled your names wrong.
No,
I'll have you know it was my father who spelled my name wrong.
And to be fair, ours is actually the correct Irish spelling.
Well, actually, no, it's... somebody also bought a t-shirt. Aw, somebody's buying stuff. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
That's so nice. But the Irish spelling of...
Becca said, Mattis, you are a Nittany Lion. I am ashamed.
Becca, you know the Nittany Lion story. You know it's not about actual lions.
You are also a Nittany Lion.
Yeah, like... okay, so the story behind how Penn State got its name was they were playing the Princeton Tigers in baseball. This is the traditional story. And they were, you know, the Tigers players made a comment about Tigers and, you know, eating the Penn State players or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And they... A Penn State player said something along the lines of, you guys are Tigers? We got Nittany Lions. You got nothing. Like, something along those lines in the early 1900s.
Yeah.
It's probably apocryphal, like, but that is the story that we go with.
Got it.
But no, there have not been Mountain Lions in central Pennsylvania for a very long time. But I did want to point out, Aiden is the anglicized version of Aiden, which is spelled A-O-D-H-A-N.
Yeah, and... The one with E is the Americanized version.
Yes, E is the Americanized.
No, wait, real quick. Look up the origin of the name Aiden.
Okay. Origin of... Oh, okay, wow. Irish mythology and Gaelic roots where Aed was the Celtic was a Celtic sun god. The diminutive Aiden means little fire.
Mm-hmm.
So our names mean little fire or warmth of the home.
Yes.
I have met female Aidens.
So have I. Different spelling, though.
Yeah, the ones I met had R's. It was weird.
That's right. I did meet one with the same spelling. It was weird because I was with, like, friends and we were out and I introduced myself. She introduced herself as, like Sasha or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my name is Aiden. And then, like, her and, like, her three friends just started, like, giggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And there was like, oh, is it really? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, okay, cool. And I was like, all right, great. Like 2 hours later, I think it was at some party or something. 2 hours later, she comes up and she's like, you can't tell this to anyone, but like, my name's actually Aiden. And I'm like, okay. And she was like, yeah, like, it's just, I just like go by like this name or whatever, but like, you just can't tell anyone. But like, I wanted to let you know. And I was like,
when was this?
Cool. I was like several months ago. And I was just like, I because then she just like, I was like, cool. And I think we talked for like 5 or 10 minutes and then, you know, just separate ways, but I was just like, why would you just not, A, why would you not go by your normal name? B, I mean, I appreciate that you were willing to acknowledge the fact that you are actually named Aiden just because my name is also Aiden.
Was there alcohol involved in this story?
I'm sure there was. It was at a party, yeah.
Okay. Quattro said, out here in Cali, my campus had a few mountain lions. I have definitely heard there are active mountain lions in California.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Out west, 100%. Yeah.
He also said, I'm going to be at James Madison U in Virginia this fall. Well, good luck.
Nice.
If you're starting your college experience, I'm not going to say anything because I was not a role model for anyone in college.
I will give some unsolicited advice.
Everclear should not be drank straight.
Correct. In life, you always have to compromise a little bit in order to, you know, live and have fun. Just don't do anything that compromises who you want to be. That's all. Have fun.
Before you do anything, think, would Aiden do this? And if the answer is yes, don't do it.
Correct.
Or you might end up like me.
Or me. I don't think this is going well.
No, this is, we actually, we're kind of vibing here. Do not let the jovial attitude fool you. I hate my job. Yeah. Not this one.
Not this one. This is the thing he looks for. This is what keeps him alive.
Yeah, what we're doing right now is the thing I enjoy doing.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord.
California has enough of a lion issue that if they allowed hunting, it would be popular. Instead, Forest Services hunt them privately.
What else do they hunt privately, might I ask? Might I ponder? Might I query? I hate that I just did that.
Might I query? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
If you're about to start college, do the opposite of what Aiden did. She says that like she didn't screw up her first year of college, too.
I'm not going to comment on that.
You couldn't live with your failure. So where did it bring you?
Back to me. Penn State. Well, yeah. Just Pennsylvania. Yeah. It's where we all end up. That is not
back
in reference
to the Commonwealth.
Yes, that is not in reference to your current situation, by the way, considering that was an upgrade.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, Pennsylvania is absolutely an upgrade over the Midwest.
Well, yeah. What's an
what was the question going to be?
No, I realized I was going to ask the question, but I immediately realized I've already Googled it. And I know that the answer is not really that important or that, like, much of a differentiation.
What was it going to
be? It was just going to be, what is the real difference between a commonwealth and a state? And the fact of the matter is, like, there's really not that much of a difference.
Anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was going to, you know, just make a comparison between Pennsylvania and Massachusetts. And then I was like, I don't really want to because I don't really want to, like, talk about that. So I just didn't. Sometimes my brain asks questions and then immediately is like, I already know that answer. I just don't feel like it.
Can we get Goodwill Edward on a T?
What does that mean?
I'm not sure I know what that means. My brother in Christ, where the hoes at? Adam? Is that also something I said in that video?
I think so. Again, I cut out about 20 minutes.
Drunk Bible was a bad idea.
On YouTube, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't even supposed to be.
There were a lot of points where what I cut out was just me speaking or Kat speaking, and it was generally usually followed up with, there's a lot of blasphemy going on here coming from your mouth. It was fun, though.
Now I need to look it up again. What is the difference between
the state and the commonwealth?
Because I can't remember now. Oh, the distinction is the name alone. Okay. Is there, was there?
There's got to be one.
Interesting. Huh. In order to maintain their British roots, yet clearly indicate independence, chose to be called commonwealths. Interesting.
Interesting.
Of course, it's Pennsylvania's flag.
So I guess calling themselves commonwealths was essentially relatively equivalent to when people say, when people who were born and raised in America say, oh, I'm Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that as a person guilty of doing that.
Okay, so they just took the old form of state, because state was the new term. All right, easy enough. After the Revolutionary War, having a commonwealth in the state name was a sign that the former colony was now ruled by a collection of its citizens. Vermont and Delaware also use the term commonwealth and state interchangeably in their constitutions. Oh, this is why there's both a Virginia State University and a Virginia Commonwealth University. Interesting.
Wait, hang on. Which
seems like they all like drunk folklore, so I guess we're doing more of it.
I mean, yeah.
It is only going to be available behind a paywall, though, because they're probably going to get worse.
100%. Yeah.
Especially when I'm not self-censoring myself as much as I was able to do that. But if I'm not self-censoring myself because I'm talking about a sensitive topic like the Bible, if I'm just talking about goblins, it's going to get wild.
Here's the problem, is that we were born and raised in the internet era, and we were both on the internet a lot as kids, so our senses of humor, at least for me, I won't speak for you, but my sense of humor is generally very dark. So, that can get people into trouble.
Y'all would definitely do something strange for a piece of change. What? I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either, but I like the rhyme.
Okay, Beelzebub, you're in Gilbertsville. That's why it's mid. Isn't Gilbertsville, like, not that far away from where we currently are?
I think so.
Look it up. Pull it up. I think you might be, like, 30 minutes from us right now.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure Gilbertsville is, like, near Douglasville, right?
That sounds right. It is... Oh, yeah, it's near Boyertown, so it's up north of Boston. So it's, like, an hour away.
I don't think it's even that far, because... let me see. Let me pull it up. I'm pretty sure it's not nearly as far. Yeah, it's no, dude. That's like,
oh, it is. It is 30 minutes.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're not far. If you want to come down to Phoenixville this week and grab a drink, I'm around.
Yeah.
Or if you're not old enough to grab a drink, if you want to grab a burger, I don't know.
Coffee or something.
Coffee. Yeah, Steel City's right there.
There we go.
But yeah, you're actually not far from us at all. oh, okay. So the thing I said after that was my brother in Christ, who is Christ. with my brother in Christ, who is Christ, going on a shirt with the Adam byline is actually pretty funny.
There were a lot of good. The problem is I can't remember what I kept and what I took out, but there were a lot of funny things in there.
It was the uncensored version.
Oh God,
no,
no. See, here's the problem is because most of that's incriminating to me.
Oh God,
in the sense of just.
History Dice says, careful not to dox yourself, guys. He said dock yourself, though, and that means something different.
I don't know what it means.
There's a term. Yeah, see, he's catching on to what he said. Yeah, we'll look that up after the show.
That's fine.
Maybe I don't need to.
Yeah.
he retracted.
Smart. Essentially what I did, editing Drunk History.
Can we have a national beer Olympics, please and thank you? I think Pennsylvania would make top four in that.
In what?
National beer Olympics for how much you can drink.
Who do you think would make one?
Probably, like, Wisconsin.
I was going to say.
Pretty sure Wisconsin is the most alcoholic state in the country.
I'm going to say Alaska.
Really?
Everyone I've met from Alaska is a tank.
Yeah, fair enough. They're growing big up there.
So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Tough human beings.
The last
were you listening to music this entire time?
No, I kept it in there in case I wanted to listen back to the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, the last person I met from Alaska is a guy named Gavin who, what was he doing at the time? Doesn't matter. If anybody watches Yellowstone, he looks almost exactly like Rip Wheeler. We met up with him in Montana. We went bar crawling, and the first drink that we got together, he said, "You guys ever done a steak shot? And it's a shot that tastes like a steak, and it tastes like a steak." And it was great. Oh, and he's also had like 13 concussions from playing hockey because he was an enforcer. Oh, that's right. He was coaching a hockey team at the time.
It's going to be after the shows. We're just going to look up docking and watch Shorzy. not look up Shorzy and watch docking. That will not be happening.
I don't know what this means.
But you will.
Oh, I'm scared.
Patrick McKenney for $99.99. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Love what y'all do. Hope you can go full time. Well, thank you. Is definitely the dream to one day be full time at this. That is the goal.
Yeah. I'll likely split as long as I can because I think that's feasible. But
y'all sleeping on Texas. Tisk tisk.
Yeah, I was gonna bring up Texas, but like it's changed a bit.
Has changed a bit.
And I'm not sure the statewide capacity to retain liquor.
Florida is the new Texas.
It is. No Louisiana for the Beer Olympics. Oh, I'm assuming you're saying Louisiana should win.
I think he's saying Louisiana should win. I can see it. I think Louisiana would probably be top 10.
We know what state would lose.
California?
No. Utah.
Oh, yeah, good point. All right, so Utah 50, California 49.
Yeah. Do we think Rhode Islanders drink a lot?
I mean, I would if I were them. But
they may not know any better.
I think the Midwest kind of might take the cake.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely nothing to do but drink and grow corn out there.
The reason Pennsylvania I put up there is Penn State. Like,
yeah.
Represent.
Oh, yeah, but dude, like Alabama State?
I got a BA, Bachelor's of Alcohol.
No, I don't know. I feel like the South, like the oh God, what is the big group of?
Natalie says no docking allowed for $20.
What does it mean?
Everyone send him.
No, no.
Send him links in the Discord.
For the love of God, please no.
We're gonna come back to the adult side of the Discord chat, just being entire.
I'm just gonna get like 1,000 pings of things that I don't need or want to see.
Shorzy is a thing, and it's a great thing. Have you guys talked or heard about some of the stories and theories surrounding Lake Tahoe? Yes, and I mean, there's going to be a whole series on Tahoe and Shasta at some point, but again, that's probably going to be after a full-time thing. So to give you guys a perspective on what going full-time means for this channel, what?
Hang on a second. We have to address a call-out here from History Daddy before we get into talking about the new layer of the channel.
Oh, do you say the British Isles thing? Ryan,
no. Sir.
First of all, he's been to London.
Correct.
And he lived there for a while.
Yes.
So I think, how'd you do?
The size of the drinks are not the same.
Yeah, you seem to... If you order a pint here, you're probably going to get a 20-ounce drink.
Yeah.
Also, our shots, a single shot of liquor in the United States is 50 milliliters. I don't know about England, but in Ireland, it's 25.
Yeah. Oh, real quick. Oh, Jesus God. You were very wrong about California.
Really?
So, Mama Thornberry, or Mama Thornbussy, I guess, technically.
Oh, good God. Never again. Never again.
Too late. Sorry, Mom. has done the research for us in terms of the top, well, we have 14 here. Of
I'm
states
by Mattis, or they'd have come up with Pendlesy.
Yeah, that would have been
bad. Yeah.
Yeah, these are the top 14 alcohol consuming states.
Pennsylvania is number 9, I'm gonna say.
No, higher than you would expect.
Really?
But guess what's number 1?
What?
California.
What?
With
you know what? I'll be honest. If I lived in California, I would also be drunk all the time.
They have gallons overall. Want to take a guess?
All right. Well, wait a second. Is this by
net consumption, not per capita?
Ah, then that doesn't count.
Fair. But just for the sake of curiosity, California is number 1 with 81.2 million. Pennsylvania is number 5 with 25.2 million. And Wisconsin's on there in 14. North Carolina's at 9. New Jersey's at 10. New York's at 4. Illinois's 5. Florida 3. Texas 2. So if it was F1... on the podium today are California, Texas, and Florida.
All right, 10 states with the highest per capita are New Hampshire at number 1.
Interesting.
Delaware, Nevada, North Dakota, Montana, Vermont, Idaho, Wisconsin, Colorado, and then South Dakota.
Okay.
I love that both Dakotas are on this list.
Yeah. I also...
That's just sensible.
Nevada makes sense. I'm surprised we didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, but to get back to Super Chats really quick.
Yes.
Kaylin Kennedy for $5 said, I nominate North Carolina for the Beer Olympics. We started on moonshine. Beer is light work. Let me just explain Penn State to you real quick. Let me just do this. We had a Beer Olympics. Sorry. A crate race. Sorry.
A
crate race between two clubs. The clubs will go unnamed because there are people in them who might actively become politicians in the next 5 years.
Wait, hang on.
But anyway, we had a crate race. Two teams of 15 people, two cases of beer, two boxes of wine, and a fifth of Jack Daniels. Our team finished in 15 minutes.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And then continued to drink.
Yeah, don't well, I went home. Don't read the last super chat, but yeah, got it. Thanks.
So it's been explained.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Kelly.
Nice.
No need. Megan from Ireland says, hey, from Ireland, love your work. 100% drink a lot over here. Or drink a lot here. Yes, Bella, yeah. I was also in Ireland, and I did feel very much at home.
I know another O'Malley.
I'm just
comment. Just saying. I know another O'Malley.
As soon as you said O'Malley, I thought of O'Malley the Alley Cat from the Aristocats. Yeah.
Oh my God. Throwback, dude.
Oh yeah.
Potential spam from Lambertville, New Jersey. Nice.
Fun.
I was going to be talking about something before we got here.
Oh yeah, you were going to talk about the updated schedule.
Right. Updated schedule.
Yeah.
So, us going full-time does not just mean you're getting a video on Friday and a video and a podcast on Sunday.
Yeah.
Us going full-time means longer Twitch streams earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It means at least 2 days of more of content per week.
Yeah.
Because we would be doing at least one story time, which would be one of us or both of us narrating something either from Reddit or something that we've written, mm-hmm. or from
any other probably paranormal back and forth. Board. Yeah.
Like we used to do last summer before we both got too busy. So there'd be one story time narration. And I may or may not be able to bring in some fun guests for that. Who are fun. Also much bigger narrators.
Nice.
But yeah, I might be able to get a couple of cool guests for that. And then, so that would probably be Wednesday, that would go up. We will be adding in the Masonic Monday videos as edited together and posted to the YouTube. So you're getting, if we go full time, if one of us goes full time with this, you're getting at least two more videos per week.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I will have time to write. I will also have time to work on other projects, which means that you'll be getting more frequent installments of the various serials that we're doing. I have an entire world that I'm building for these serials that is going to involve short stories all set in the same universe that are going to be little vignettes. So you guys will be getting those as written content. And then of course, once those are written and posted, they will be narrated. We will also of course do more patron exclusive stuff, but that's already being paid. But my point is if we get to the point where we're bringing in the kind of money we need to bring in, which is I would say consistently the channel needs to be at like 4,000 a month, probably.
After taxes, probably.
Yeah, after taxes. So we're not far from it, but we are. My point is to say we are not far from at least one of us being able to go full time with this.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of getting there. And then once we do, it is going to be content.
Yeah.
Like I will be on Twitch 3-4 times a week at least. There will be 3-4 recorded and edited uploads to this channel every week. It would be a lot. Plus, it would allow me to do some work with some other channels that we've been wanting to collaborate with, but we haven't had enough time to do so. So it would equate to us going from the Friday video and the Sunday podcast to this being more of the production studio we envision it being.
Yeah. And I know I've said this for ages, but I really do genuinely soon hope to put out the monthly Thornberry Thursday things. I have multiple video outlines, not complete, but in the works. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to do first, and it really comes down to what's going to be timely in relation to the topic and also my workload. So I am actively working on it. It's slow progress, but it is progress.
When will Spotify be updated? Damn it, I forgot.
Oh, God damn it. I knew I forgot something.
Tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I promise. I will get at least a few of them up tomorrow. How much would it take for you both to go around the country in the black Camaro hunting for paranormal entities in state parks? Probably less than it would cost for either of us to have an apartment.
Yeah, that's the downside. The sad part.
But I don't know. In terms of actually doing the Into Thin Air documentaries, that would be a lot. We'll probably do Kickstarters for those.
Yeah.
Unless We're in talks about something that would be big.
Predatory house elf. Just a clarification. That engine would not be swapped out for anything other than a less energy efficient one, or fuel efficient one specifically. If I could drop an LS7 into that thing.
That was the other thing I want to mention. For those of you guys who are fans of the Weird Bible Podcast with Wendigoon, I can't promise more frequent Weird Bible Podcasts because that is dependent on Isaiah's schedule, and he is a very, very busy man. Yes. But what I can say is I have been wanting for a long time to do a series that does a deep dive into each book of the Bible, starting with Genesis and moving through it. So that's another thing that I would definitely be working on, and that would be at least monthly, if not more frequently, and we would go through all of the books. And then, of course, as it goes on, they would link back to previous ones, and I would point out the callbacks and all of that. So even if you're not Christian, it would be a good way to learn about the religion. And then, of course, I would love to do that for other things. I'd love to bring back History Hut. All these different things that we've been wanting to do that we just don't have the time for. We're going to be pushing for that. And we'll definitely, when we put up the Give, Send, Go or the GoFundMe or Kickstarter or whatever we end up doing, we'll put out a video explaining what the roadmap is and all of that. So people understand. But yeah, so that's that.
Yep. Just to clarify, Callan, right? I'm saying it right this time, right?
Callan, cool. Callan.
Don't have to LS swap it because there's already an LS3 in there. And when I bought the car, when I had it inspected, I asked the guy at the dealership said that he thought this thing might be cammed out. I'm curious what you think. And the guy who did the inspection over nearby where we live, he says, it's really not any way to tell unless you break down the engine. And it's really hard to tell. I come back to pick up the car after the inspection and a couple of things. He's like, yeah, we changed out the brakes for you, updated a couple of things that needed to be done. Also, by the way, the thing's definitely cammed.
And what does that mean?
So camshaft is the internal element that essentially regulates the timing of the valves in the engine. And more aggressive cams keep the valves open longer, so that way it increases the air and fuel flow mixture to essentially just get... It increases the horsepower, but it lowers the fuel efficiency. And it also... The way he was able to tell was because... So there's also a custom exhaust on it. The person who owned it before I did so many things to it. I'm still not even totally sure what exactly it is. But he said, he was like, yeah, you can't get an engine to sound like that and not have it cammed. Also, there's a GM performance sticker on, it's like underneath the little engine thing or whatever. And he's like, yeah, not only is it an upgraded camshaft, but it was from the factory. So whatever they
ordered with?
Yeah.
Wow.
So whatever the person that bought this car... They
had no care in the world for fuel efficiency.
Not at all. And they also, there's an upgraded cold air intake. It's just, there was a custom sound system put in. But, I mean, I need to upgrade. The speakers are blown to hell.
My car has a better sound system.
Exactly, yeah.
Granted, I put it in, but...
I just haven't had the time or ability to do it yet.
To respond to that really quick...
Thank you, Predator House.
Yes, I absolutely should do a VeggieTales watch party. We'll do it in Discord. If you're not in the Discord, the link's in the description.
North State, when and where is the LS Fest? I found out there's a modern muscle car meet that's happening next Saturday in Pottstown. I'm very curious to go because they have a mobile dyno set up, and I really just want to figure out what the HP of my car is considering all of the upgrades, and I have no idea. Considering stock, it's 426, but it could be anywhere between that and 600.
Dude, you're so close to blazing it.
What? if it only was a little bit less. Yeah, but I
clamshaft. Hashtag clamshaft, Kaelin says.
Clamshaft. What?
PumpkinBear7 for $2. Are you doing anything to do with Louisiana myths? We have done a video, at least on TikTok, on the Rougarou. We'd probably work that in for the next folklore video.
I feel like there are some interesting things specifically within Louisiana.
Yeah, somebody sent It literally a list of paranormal entities state by state. I have it pulled up right here. So I'm basically just going to go through this thing and do all of them. Because as you guys who saw our post yesterday, I think might have been today, we're now doing much more structured, one week a month is going to be missing 411, one's going to be folklore, one's going to be cults, one's going to be, I forget what the last one I said was. So for example, we've got our Stacey Aris video coming out on Friday, and then after that is going to be a video on the Leshy, which may or may not have a very special guest. And then our video on the Heaven's Gate cult, which may also have a very, very special guest. You know who it is? Can you make an assumption of who it is?
Which one again? The Leshy?
No, Leshy is the... I'm not going to say who it is just because she hasn't committed yet.
Yeah, no, but, I know that one, but what was the other one?
The Heaven's Gate one? It's a cult.
Who
would be possibly working with us on a video about a cult? Somebody who's done videos on perhaps a large, floating molecular structure made out of water that goes deep into the ocean.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah. I that's where I thought you were leaning, but I wasn't sure. So yeah, no.
So we're he might be helping if he has time. So hopefully, if not, it's fine. September 6th through 8th, Bowling Green, KY. I'm actually going to be in Bowling Green on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would love to go down, but the funny thing is that I definitely need to invest in... I have earplugs for my car. It is that loud on long drives. Might need to invest in some more intense ones, but that sounds like fun.
To really quickly address something that was just said by James Stead, I'd love to break down the main branches of Christianity. I absolutely can do that. If we go full time, that's on the list.
Yeah.
But also, if you're torn between Catholic and Orthodox, I would recommend Orthodox. Theologically, they're extremely similar. The papacy at a certain point in the Middle Ages became a government.
Yeah, and we don't love that.
He became a monarch, not a religious leader. And there are problems within the Catholic establishment that have not been rectified. The Reformation, for example, was originally supposed to be not a split,
mm-hmm.
but a reform movement to fix the problems. Mm-hmm. Instead, it became the Protestant movement. Mm-hmm. I would say if you're torn between the two, in terms of theology, they're almost exactly the same. There are a few differences, like the filioque is a big one.
Yeah.
But if you're torn between those two, I would recommend Orthodox. Do you have shotguns? I don't have a shotgun.
I don't.
I need to get a shotgun. I have two of the trifecta.
I have been skeet shooting before, and I've shot skeet shotguns otherwise. But yeah, they're, it's fun.
I didn't take you shooting.
Yeah.
Becca will come back on to talk about the Hodag. Let's do it.
Don't know what that is, but that sounds
fun. It's not like you live far away anymore.
Yeah, right.
Becca, you could literally just show up on a Friday or on a Sunday and be like, hey, can I be on the show? And we'd be like, yeah, probably.
And he's back. He loves it under there.
I still really want to do the New Hope and Ivanland Railroad back when they actually have the steam engine running this fall.
Did you hear?
What?
Schuylkill River Transport Authority?
No.
It's a thing. The train line's coming through again.
Oh, really? Yeah. No way!
There's going to be a train from Pottstown into Philadelphia going through Phoenixville and Valley Forge.
No way! Yeah. So that's great.
Probably not for like 3 to 5 years, but...
Well, I was surprised that Norfolk Southern was ripping up their double track, mm-hmm. and they've turned it back into a single track.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering why they did that. I guess it makes sense considering it's double tracked under the bridge, or at least it was. But yeah, I guess they're making room for that. But they could have just used the same. I don't know. Weird.
I think freight and passenger have different widths, don't they?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Nope.
Yeah, maybe they. Maybe it could be passenger regulations. They might need to put in new track.
Maybe. Yeah, it's all.
That would make sense. They might have to replace the whole track.
Yeah.
And they're doing half at once so they can keep running trains.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Yeah, because
it would be.
All standard gauge track in the United States is 4 feet, 8 inches and 1/2.
You know weird specific details about odd things.
I do.
And I'm saying that.
I know.
Like, all right, well, it's 8:34. We are now 20 minutes past where we intended to go.
It was a good time tonight. We were both like well awake. It was a fun one.
Well, I kind of made sure of that.
Yeah, thankfully. I don't know.
This man right here got home-cooked dinner, dessert, and coffee. Like,
I got the treatment tonight. Yeah,
that's...
I feel very loved.
I made a Szechuan stir-fry.
That was good.
And I made...
very good.
I made little apple pie bread puddings with ice cream in mugs.
So here's the thing. If we ever do make a physical lodge...
Oh, it's going to have a menu.
And
I'm not going to cook them, but...
On occasion, you have to, though, because he's literally the best cook I know. And that's not me just like blowing smoke up his ass. Like, ask literally any of our friends. He's a culinary chef. He's a master.
Oh, thank you. It's mostly stuff I taught myself to cook while drunk in college.
Isn't it funny how the good stuff starts that way?
And then I refined it while sober.
Yes.
That's the way to discover things, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, Max is going to buy a shirt. Thank you. They're actually really high quality, and they support the lodge in so many different ways.
Because
obviously it's a few bucks that gets thrown our way, but if you wear it, people see it, and then they think, what's the Lore Lodge? But, all right. Will your coffee be available in K-cups? It will just be available whole bean or ground. You can get it ground for drip, which if you do that and you get one of the mesh reusable K-cups, that's all you need to do.
There you go.
It will be, you can put it through a Keurig. You just need to get one of the reusable Keurig cups. All right. Princess Firefly just sent us $1. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. That's an evening.
That's the night.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. We will have another video for you posted Friday at 3 p.m. now.
Yes.
Because YouTube told us that's better.
Yep.
And we'll be back again on Sunday to talk